Mirror Season 3 is coming, and we are just getting started here on post-show recaps. Hello, everyone. Mike Bloom here. It's been a minute. It's been a little while since we've been covering Black Mirror, but a new season is on the horizon, and with it comes a whole new slew of coverage here on post-show recaps. I'm so excited to cover it. I am even more excited to be covering it with this guy who is with me to cover the first 7 episodes of Black Mirror. He was the guy to introduce me to Black Mirror, so of course I had to honor the guy that got me in the first place. He is currently installing a grain so we can remember all the episodes of Black Mirror since they aired so long ago. AJ Mass, how you doing?
I am doing just fine. I am really excited to be revisiting some of these really, really amazing television episodes. This is a series that really came out of nowhere to just really trigger my imagination, and it's amazing how prescient this series was, and I'm sure we'll talk about that a little bit going forward. I am eagerly awaiting seeing what Charlie Brooker comes up with for Season 3, because whatever he comes up with in 2016 for Season 3 is probably going to happen in 2017.
So we do have some people that might be listening to our Black Mirror coverage for the first time. I will let you guys know that, as mentioned, AJ and I did cover the previous two seasons. There were 2 seasons and a Christmas special, so I'm going to say 2+ seasons. We covered all those episodes on a previous podcast. AJ, I believe we actually recorded that on New Year's Day 2015, I think it was. I could not think of a better way to ring in the new year.
It's you know, all I want for Christmas is you, and all I want for New Year's is more episodes. I mean, this is the type of show where it really just gets inside your brain and just works at you and works at you, and it's really good stuff. So yeah, starting a year off and discussing this was certainly made a lot of sense at the time, and I'm glad we don't have to wait until the new year to discuss some more new episodes.
No, we are waiting towards the spooky time of Halloween, and if there's one thing you can say about Black Mirror is that it's spooky, but less so in a boo way and more of a wow, this could actually happen way.
Yeah, exactly. The all of these episodes are very, very realistic in the sense that you're watching and going, part of you is saying there's no way that could happen. And yet as the episodes go on and go on and go on, you go, yeah, but that actually could happen if the technology existed. And then as they go on and on and on, it's like, you know what? We wouldn't even really need the technology that is in this for this to happen. It could happen. And what's scary is that a lot of these episodes kind of sort of have happened.
Yeah, we don't need the technology. That's like the complete opposite of the $6 million man.
We can't rebuild him. We can't make him bigger, faster, stronger. But there he is running on the American Ninja Warrior.
So before we get into the episodes themselves and talk a little bit about the third season, AJ, for those who have not seen Black Mirror as of yet, can you sort of give a broad spectrum as to what the show may be? And I mean broad, because this show is not serialized in any way, at least from the naked eye.
No, although they all kind of sort of take place in the same universe and they all kind of sort of build on each other in terms of the technological world that Charlie Brooker has created. It is an anthology series, and you don't have to watch, you know, any episode in order. You can watch them out of order. It's just the episodes are there. It's almost like a new modern version of the Twilight Zone, but set 15 minutes in the future. That's kind of the conceit. Like this is what's happening right now, but 15 minutes in the future. It uses technology and the way that we have kind of really immersed ourselves as a culture in this technology, and kind of spinning off of that into these Twilight Zone-esque escapades into what the world might be like just a little bit down the road.
Yeah, so this series is an anthology series. Every episode is a self-contained story that usually takes place between a set of characters. We have, as of yet, not seen any characters make their way into other narratives, though again, we can probably talk about the possibility of that happening later on, and it usually focuses on a certain theme. At this point, we won't get into any specifics right now, but AJ, I know before we came on, you had talked to me about how you feel like the first 6 episodes from the first 2 seasons can be packaged into 3 pairs around theming.
Yeah, they really are. They're came out in 2 series of 3 episodes each, and there's one of each of these types in each series. There is a political episode, which is the first episode of season one and the last episode of season two.
Bookends.
Yeah, bookends, if you will. And there's the two middle episodes, which are kind of a spin on the world's obsession with reality television and wanting to know everything about people's lives and turning every real life into entertainment. And then there's episodes three and four, the last of you know, season one and the first of season two, which are really about memories and how our personalities are shaped and formed by what we reveal about ourselves publicly and what we keep private in our memories and how both can be manipulated.
So AJ, tell me about some of the stuff you love about this show from an overall perspective.
Well, for one, I think a lot of the episodes just really look gorgeous. The world building in this, even though a lot of them take place in quote unquote the real world of today, because of the technology, there's a little bit of a futuristic feel as well. And it's the integration of that futuristic feel into something that generally doesn't look too far in the future. I think that's really well done. And I just think the acting is just top notch. There are performances here that just are emotionally draining to watch. And I can't imagine performing some of these. Like there's just a lot of emotion here. Usually you think of Twilight Zone and or Outer Limits or shows like that. And you think, well, you know, there'll be really good stories and they'll make you think. But, you know, the acting is going to be like of a William Shatner. There's a man on the wing of the plane. It's not that. The acting here is spot on. It is engrossing. And you just get sucked into these stories because the look is right, the acting is right, and you know, on top of it all, the scripts are very, very unsettling. And they're unsettling because they go places that television shows, especially in America — this is a British series — they don't go usually in these places, in these directions.
For those of you that do know the first episode of the series, you will know that AJ's statement is 100% completely validated by the first like 15 minutes of that episode.
Yeah, and I remember when I was first turned on to this series, and like, you know, the reviews started coming out, and like, oh, you know, people were saying to me, oh, you got to watch Black Mirror, it's amazing, it's amazing, amazing. I was like, okay, all right. You know, I watched the first episode, and you're about 5-10 minutes in, and I'm just going, what the hell did people tell me to watch? This is —
yeah. I won't get too much into the first episode, but I remember you had convinced me to watch this show. Actually, I think when we had first met each other at the first Survivor Know-It-Alls Live here in New York City, and I sat down with my wife to watch the first episode on Christmas Day. Those first 5 minutes went by, my wife has promptly never watched the show again. So thank you, Black Mirror. You have lost a fan, but you have gained a devoted fan as a result as well. So it all balances out.
Yeah, but I think if you can get past that first episode, which we'll get into. But the thing is, it is disturbing, and you're like, they're not going to show this sort of thing. They're not going to show this sort of thing, and they establish right on. Yeah, we could show you anything. You have no idea where this is going, and I think that's exciting. It's really exciting that you know, a lot of times when you watch shows with a twist or with some sort of, you know, oh, there's going to be some sort of cool little plot device that you're not going to see coming, your brain just automatically starts to try and figure it out. I don't even bother with this because I learned really early on, like, I have no idea where these are going, and I just go along for the ride. And so far, I mean, with the six episodes and the Christmas special, he's 7 for 7.
Yeah, I mean, there might be a couple of Achilles heels in there, but they're all — what I will say is what brings me to the show is that it's just a very well-made show. And you touched upon all the points behind it: the production values, the writing, the direction, the cinematography, the acting. It just all works across the board. And another thing that I love about it is that it really is a box of chocolates of a show. You never know what you're going to get. You talk about world building. The show does a great job of building a world in these 45 to 75 minute episodes, then promptly, you know, knocking the blocks blocks over and building them up again for another episode. They don't really need to deal with that much continuity between episodes. So as a result, they could build a society that's as extravagant as something like 15 million merits. Or they could do something that's more simple, like Be Right Back. And again, I won't divulge too much into the plot elements of that, but they're two very disparate stories. But because they're using the loose theme of technology, you can still build the same theming into it, which I think is so fascinating. And technology is such a deep well, especially nowadays, that I do not feel like Charlie Brooker is going to be running out of writing material anytime soon, especially since we're going to have 12 episodes of Black Mirror to look forward to in the next 2 years.
Isn't that cool? We were getting them in these little, you know, bite-sized morsels. And I mean, you know, if I have a fear or a concern, it's that, well, can he do it when we're talking about volume? I mean, part of the reason these episodes work is because they were, you know, three at a time and you could really focus on them. And you can take that care to be so precise when you're churning out a larger amount of episodes. And Charlie Brooker's writing, at least for series three, he's written all of them. So mm-hmm. I'm a little concerned that does something fall by the wayside. And I certainly hope not. And so far he's proven that he can handle the workload. So I'm optimistic, but I mean, if he could start pulling off six more episodes, you know, to know that we have another six coming up afterwards, it's just heaven for someone who loves good sci-fi.
Yeah, so giving a little bit of a history of this series, it premiered in the UK in 2011 for three episodes. Those of you that are familiar with Sherlock know that British series often like to sometimes do three big episode seasons, or series as they call it. Then the second season premiered in 2013, so they took a break. Then in 2014 is when the Christmas special aired. This all aired on Channel 4. In between then, I believe there was talk about, you know, an American version of Black Mirror. I know Robert Downey Jr. was taking one particular episode, An Entire History of You, and possibly propositioning that into a movie. But Netflix was able to acquire the rights. Charlie Brooker came over. As a result, we have 12 new episodes of Black Mirror. Initially, it was going to be a 12-episode third season, but then they decided to separate them into two six-episode seasons, which is good because, as you said, I think the smaller bites we get to take here, the better out of, you know, especially out of such a juicy show like Black Mirror. We have a few new people, or I guess a few more reputable people that have been brought in. In particular, the first episode of the new season is going to be an episode called Nosedive, which is written by Charlie Brooker, of course, and Michael Schur and Rashida Jones. Michael Schur is probably best well known for his work on Parks and Recreation. Rashida Jones was an actress on Parks and Recreation. So considering that they're based in comedy, I do wonder if it's going to be on the more comic side. That being said, in Black Mirror style, I'm sure it's going to be very darkly comic. But the other big get that I feel like we're having here in terms of the production side from this season is Dan Trachtenberg, who has made a big name for himself, at least recently. He directed 10 Cloverfield Lane, which was the thriller that sort of came out of nowhere this past year as a Cloverfield, I wouldn't say sequel, it's sort of like in the Cloverfield world, but it more so is insular and focuses on a few specific characters. He got a lot of kudos for that. So I'm really excited to have some new blood, at least behind the camera, on this show.
Yeah, it's as long as they all, you know, incorporate the general look and of the world to have their own little spins on it, I think it can only help. You don't want to have six episodes that look exactly the same. You don't want to have six episodes that look exactly the same as what came before. So to have that diversity, but yet all have that same basic aesthetic of the show, I think can only help going forward. I mean, you know, they had some really good directors in the first couple of series, including, you know, Uros Lynn, who had done Broadchurch and like did 15 Million Merits, which is, you know, one of the most beautiful ones. So to have these different looks, but yet all be part of the same kind of sensibility, I think is going to be just really, really cool to see.
So I'd be intrigued to hear from your perspective. I think one of the things that we talked about in our first podcast about Black Mirror is that there weren't too many notable actors in it at the time. I won't spoil too much, but the Christmas special features Jon Hamm, of course. Other than him, I would say like Domhnall Gleeson might be the most famous person to appear out of it. And that was Domhnall Gleeson blew up after Black Mirror. That was when Ex Machina came out, and then he was General Hux in Star Wars. But outside of those two, and maybe Jessica Brown Findlay, who was in the aforementioned 15 Million Merits and is known for playing Lady Sybil on Downton Abbey, there weren't many notable actors on Black Mirror. Looking at the people that have been cast in these episodes now, and we don't know anything about the synopsis, we have a trailer and we have a cast list. Which names stick out to you? And is the group overall maybe a little more well-known worldwide than the group from episodes 1 through 7?
I think it's kind of top heavy though. I think, you know, the first episode is going to have Bryce Dallas Howard and Cherry Jones, and certainly, you know, Bryce Dallas Howard is just like been in a lot of stuff.
As long as she doesn't have to run in pumps for 75 minutes, I'll be happy.
Yeah, or as long as she doesn't have to, like, you know, be blind and go fetch M. Night Shyamalan. Yeah, exactly. But
poor Bryce Dallas Howard. She had the help in the middle, but there's been some real doldrums in her career.
But, you know, so, like, that episode seems to be one. The only other name really that jumps out at me is Gugu Mbatha-Ra, who was on a really short-lived NBC show, I think. Was NBC? It was some sort of spy show she was on really briefly that came and went. Other than that, I don't really recognize a lot of the names here.
Alias? Alias is the name of a spy.
No. I think it was called Undercover or something like that. It was a J.J. Abrams show that lasted a minute.
So maybe it was Alias with J.J. Abrams.
No, it was on NBC. It was called Undercovers. But other than that, I don't know a whole lot of these names, but that's fine. I mean, I didn't know a lot of the names from the first series, and some of the performances there were amazing. So maybe some of these names are better known in the UK. And as an Anglophile, I'm always happy to learn the names of some people who, you know, maybe on the cusp of breaking out and getting that big breakthrough Hollywood role and becoming really big.
AJ, I'm surprised, though, as a new Game of Thrones adoptee, you do not recognize Jerome Flynn, a.k.a. Bronn.
You were saying?
Well, I'm excited about him, at least. You know, he definitely is one of the fan favorites of Game of Thrones because of his wit, so hopefully his sly, demure nature gets brought into Black Mirror. The other name that I recognize in particular was Michael Kelly, who plays Doug on House of Cards. Admittedly, I've only seen a couple of seasons of House of Cards, but it feels like they very rarely use American actors. I feel like as they were getting more and more into it, again, Jon Hamm is an example of them using American actors and not going purely British. So it's fun to see that Black Mirror is willing to do what the Harry Potter franchise would not.
Yeah, well, you know, it's reaching out and getting these actors who are on shows that you may or may not have seen, but they're not the stars, the leads. I mean, this shouldn't become a star vehicle. This really, the story should be the star. And so even if it's a recognizable face, when you go back and watch, you know, like the Domhnall Gleeson episode, like, again, you know, he's recognizable now. He might not have been when it originally aired. So, like, that shouldn't draw you out of the reality of the situation. I think a lot of times when you have science fiction, when it's a recognizable actor, you tend to be pulled out of the reality of the universe that they're creating. So it's sometimes good to have lesser known people, or if they are people who you've seen before, like your Jerome Flynn, it's someone like, oh yeah, I've seen him before, but not like, oh, it's him. It's like, where have I seen him before? A little more of those behind the scenes character actors.
All right, AJ, from a general perspective, is there anything else you want to say about the show before we promptly dismiss into our spoiler section for the past episodes that we talked about?
Only that, you know, if you are going to nosedive into this series, just go in with an open mind. Again, you don't have to watch them in order. It doesn't matter if you want to hold off watching that first one and saving it until you're a little more comfortable with the universe, go for it. Because I know that the first episode was a real tough sell to a lot of people. But I think it's worth it. That episode is good, but you're not going to see all of the episodes if you give up after the first 10 minutes. So if you think you might have a problem with something that might be a little bit of in poor taste or something that may make you uncomfortable, start with episode two and then go back to it at the end.
Yeah, what I will say is don't plan on having pork for dinner that night if you plan on watching the first episode anytime soon.
No, it's bacon.
Yeah, so please, if you have not checked out Black Mirror yet and you've sort of gotten a taste of it from what AJ and I have been speaking about, go to Netflix right now. All 7 episodes are up there. As I said before, they range from like 45 minutes to 75 minutes. You're Mr. Robot length of episodes in terms of variance. They're fantastic. Listen to them. Listen to the podcast we did about those first 7 episodes. AJ and I are going to probably talk about some highlights and perhaps lowlights from the first episodes coming up, but we're not going to get into any sort of the nitty-gritty like we did in that podcast, since we would just be repeating the same conversation. So check that out and then promptly come back here. Okay, thanks for staying, guys. I'm assuming these are our diehard Black Mirror fans who are listening to us right now, who have watched all 7 episodes and are extremely excited for the 3rd season, as are we. But before we dive into speculations about the 3rd season, AJ, let's talk a little bit about the first 7 episodes. Again, we've done a podcast where we've already spoken about that, but give me some of your highlights and possibly lowlights from those first 7 episodes.
Well, I mean, to me, the episodes that really sucked me in and are my two favorite are the two reality show, quote-unquote, episodes, the ones where the Black Mirror puts that Black Mirror on us and our obsession as a culture, as a society, on being famous and taking people's lives and using them as entertainment. So to me, if there are 2 episodes, if you could tell me I could only watch 2 of the 6 episodes again, I'd be watching 15 Million Merits and I'd be watching White Bear.
I don't know how you could watch White Bear again. That was one that I think I said on the podcast that I'd be intrigued to rewatch, but I just have not given myself the heart to do it because it is so horrifying, and I mean that in the best way possible, but I can't imagine even almost 2 years after the fact going back anytime soon to watch it all over again.
It is, but given, like, you know, this was an episode that was from February of 2013, and now we're, you know, 3+ years later, and it is so much more real than it was even back then. And I just think this whole spectacle of taking people's deaths and having it be entertainment, people's lives and the judicial system being used as entertainment. I think it is so close to becoming reality, so much closer than when this episode originally was broadcast. And, you know, the 15 Million Merits is a lot more, it's equally as dark, I think, but it's a little bit more on the, there's at least some comedy to it and at least some positive that can come out of it, in terms of that there is still romance in this world where everybody is obsessed with being a superstar on television. So there's at least a little bit more hope in that one. There's no hope at all in White Bear, really. But I think, sadly, that's more the reality that I see on TV today. And so it just connects to me on a visceral level that none of the other shows really did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the interesting thing about something like 15 Million Merits is that it's also very separate from the other 6 episodes, in my opinion, because the aesthetic of it seems like it's most set in like a dystopian society. This is a world where everything is like you usually see in a stereotypical future setting. Everything is crisp and clean and sanitized. And they live in a society where they have to ride bikes to power their society and they get credits based on that. These other ones seem almost like our relatively normal society, but with one sort of weird hinky element in it. I mean, it's sort of like you mentioned before, like, this could all take place 15 minutes from now. The 15 Million Merits doesn't seem – it seems like a little bit more of a stretch than 15 minutes from now.
I would agree with you in the look of it, but not necessarily in the content of it. And I think that's why it's set so far in the future. But, I mean, it's no different than if you go past any gym or health spa, you know, where you got all the people on the bicycles just staring at the TV screens and, you know, playing, you know, Candy Crush on their phones and buying, you know, another 99 cents for a couple of boosters and like that sort of thing. I mean, while we're also obsessed with being, you know, America's Got Talent and X Factor and American Idol and all that stuff.
Well, maybe I think, not so much anymore with that latter.
Well, yes, it'll be back in 2 years. We all know it. But, you know, it's that same type of, it's a futuristic look. It's the only one. It is the outlier in the fact that it's the only one that I think is actually in existence today, but it's shown in the future to make it seem like it's sci-fi when it really is probably the most relevant to today's society.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I can't wait until the season of American Idol where a guy just holds a piece of glass to his neck the entire time and wins as a result.
Oh, but Daniel Kaluuya is so good in that scene. I wish this guy would like do some more stuff that like with really huge roles because, I mean, that is my favorite scene in the entire series.
So I would say two other highlights that I'd like to make are, as you talked about with the pairings beforehand, the memory episodes, The Entire History of You and Be Right Back. And maybe one reason why I enjoy them a lot is because, again, there's a little bit of familiarity to them. They're much more simple. They seem to take place right now. There's just additional elements where there's technology exists that in one allows you to retrace your memories and see things in order to, of course, hyperanalyze every single thing you said, which would be the worst thing for me to do because I already hyperanalyze everything I say. So that would just add fuel to the fire. And the other one comes from a place where you can use your social media posts to essentially create artificial intelligence that's supposed to speak like in Be Right Back. Domhnall Gleeson passes away. His wife essentially recreates him using his social media postings to fabricate a personality. And of course, it all escalates from there. I just love those two because they're so simple, but I would argue they might be the happiest out of all six of them. And as a sucker for happy endings, maybe not so much from The Entire History of You, but Be Right Back at least felt the most heartwarming to me.
Ooh, I don't know if I would call it happy. I think it's more of a cautionary tale. Be careful what you wish for.
Well, I think happy compared to everything else.
Oh,
I mean,
yes.
There's nary a happy ending to exist in Black Mirror. We should also emphasize that.
Yeah. I would say that, yeah, what's great about Be Right Back is it really is – it shows that we can recreate personalities. We can certainly profile people based on what they put on the internet, and that does last long after people die. I mean, that's not going anywhere. So be careful what you put out there because people will look back, and that's what they'll remember because that's all that will be left of you. So I think it's like almost like a cautionary tale saying that, you know, if you were a lot more honest online, it could recreate you a lot better, but do you really want that? Mm-hmm. Do you want that level of sharing? It's an interesting kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't kind of situation. And it I guess it is the happiest of the bunch, but not
again,
really.
It's a damning with faint praise. I also should bring up, I didn't bring up in our notable actors that have been on Black Mirror in the past, Hayley Atwell, most well known for playing Agent Peggy Carter of the now deceased, like Domhnall Gleeson, Agent Carter. She plays Domhnall Gleeson's wife in that, the main character.
Yeah, I mean, The Entire History of You is phenomenal in the sense of just the storyline is pretty much what would happen if you could have every memory to relive over and over again. Would you live in the happy? Would you live in the sad? I mean, what choice would you make? And if you wanted to live in just the happy moments, how would your life go as opposed to if you wanted to dwell on the negative? And this is what happens when someone dwells on the negative. I mean, it's a society where any fight you have, you can easily just say, well, let's go to the videotape. See, you did say mm-hmm. that, and that sort of thing. And taken to the extreme, it lends itself to just the complete destruction of happiness. It's the exact opposite of a happy ending. This is what happens when you dwell so much on being right and knowing everything. Sometimes a white lie is good to have.
Yeah, and I think it also delves into this idea that this is a device that's supposed to relieve paranoia, right? This grain is supposed to show you, oh yeah, you know, I had forgotten something. Let me rewind it and make sure that I had remembered what I had seen or that I had gotten everything right. But Toby Kebbell's character, he was just able to build this entire structure of paranoia after looking at just mere interactions between his wife and this man. Granted, those interactions turn out to be completely correct, checked, and his paternity is questioned at the very end of the day. But it just shows how much having that power at your fingertips can actually lead to the destruction of a person entirely.
Yeah, I mean, you think about that kind of technology, and I think a lot of what is great about these episodes is that on the surface, a lot of these technologies sound like they would be really helpful. I mean, if you could immediately track anybody's memory, well, you know, no one would commit crimes because they know they could be caught, because all they'd have to do is play back the memories and there's the proof right there that you did the crime. So it would change that. It would make life a lot safer. You know, you go on the airplane, they can, oh wait, you're a terrorist. No, you're not going on this airplane. You have a bomb in your bag. Like there's a lot of positives that could come out of it. But again, it's never the technology. It's how the technology is used. And if you use it to settle petty scores, then it could destroy you.
Let's talk a little bit about the other two episodes in the first two seasons that we haven't spoke of yet. The political episodes, as you said, the national anthem, the Waldo moment. We danced around the national anthem's big concept, but it's quite, as we said before, a bombastic way to start off the series. And actually, on our other podcast, The Hamster Factor, we were just talking about a movie called The Last Broadcast that really emphasizes this message of how people will manipulate things through the media and how people kind of get bloodthirsty for that type of stuff. And the national anthem goes hand in hand in that, where there's the whole twist where you have the prime minister doing dirty deeds with a pig. Well, everyone's enraptured in that. The reason why he was doing it, to save a kidnapped woman, she gets released way before then, but everyone was so drawn into the carnage that they didn't even notice it was happening and could have possibly stopped it.
Yeah, I mean, and it was that darkness that really drew me into this series. It's like, oh my goodness, that the commentary that he's making with this episode is just so vicious. And what's amazing about this episode is, we discussed it at the time, that it was preposterous, that this could never happen, that there's no way. Even though you could see, yeah, I guess if this happened and this happened, it makes sense in the episode. There's never a time in the episode where you go, oh no, this couldn't happen. But you're saying to yourself, but in real life, this couldn't happen. And yet, just a year ago, it comes out that it kind of, sort of happened?
It's David Cameron. God bless him. David Cameron, who is the current Prime Minister of England. It was discovered last year that at some point when he was, I believe, in a fraternity in his school, he took place in an activity where he put his member inside of a dead pig's mouth. Now, the circumstances are not completely mirrored as Black Mirrored, if you will, but it still is a little eerily close. And even Charlie Brooker at the time, they were actually thinking for a second, is Charlie Brooker the new, like, Julian Assange? Does he have secret information about what these political figures have done? And Charlie Brooker said, no, it's just purely a coincidence.
Yeah, but it's like you start to see something like that. And then the other political episode, which at the time, I thought this was the least believable of the bunch. I thought
how
this
wrong
was,
you were.
I thought this was the weakest of the bunch. I just the Waldo moment. It, essentially, for those of you who don't remember, or perhaps just can't bring yourself to talk about it,
because it's blocked really, it from your memory. Yeah. Because I would argue again, it's the worst of a good bunch. But I would say it's my least favorite Black Mirror episode so far.
Yeah, but part of my issue was I thought this was the least likely to happen, that you could take this cartoon character and just have him say the most ridiculous things that came to his mind and just insult people left and right and just word vomit coming out of his mouth, suddenly become a strong political candidate that potentially could win an election. And, you know, now we have Donald Trump. And it's,
hey, Mr. Jeb Bush.
it's so frightening that this is sort of happening, and it's disturbing because, you know, that episode ends with basically the world in a really horrible, horrible place.
Yeah.
And it's just the similarities are a little too scary. So that's why I'm saying, like, with these new six episodes, I hope they're really off in the future, not 15 minutes in the future, because this one just hits way too close to home.
So you're hoping that if it does connect to previous episodes, that we don't have an episode which takes place in Waldo's White House?
Oh, listen to me. Listen, I mean, it's almost like Triumph.
Exactly.
So say freaking impression.
But my opponents for me to poop on.
But it is. It's that political doublespeak that's going on. It's like, no, I would never have sex with that woman. She's too ugly. Like, oh, no, stop it.
I would not be surprised if there was a cut line on the Waldo moment where Waldo talked about grabbing women by the pussy.
It wouldn't be surprising. No. No, it really wouldn't.
Let's move to something that's a little more wholesome. Christmas, AJ. Christmas is, of course, a very pleasant time where, of course, no bad or traumatizing things happen. At least not in Black Mirror, right?
Oh, no. It's just happiness and Christmas carols played on an endless loop for
exactly.
thousands and thousands of years.
Exactly. Keeping someone tortured in thousands of years. And then also branding someone as a sex offender, which means they use technology to never have them be seen or interacted with by anyone for the rest of their lives. We talked a little bit about this on our previous podcast, but this was an interesting one in that it was almost its own anthology within an anthology. You sort of have the framing device of John Hamm and Rafe Spall in this cabin, and there's almost like three stories within that story where John Hamm talks about, you know, that one, the thing he does on the side where he almost serves as a pickup artist to guys by talking to them through a headset. Then there's the one where his actual job is the technology you just talked about where you make a cookie of yourself and that cookie is responsible for essentially working your smart house for the rest of their lives. And then the final part was what happened to Rafe Spall where he gets erased from his wife and daughter's memories, but it turns out all along that she wasn't really his daughter and he sort of kills someone in exchange. And as we just talked about, the big ending is that Rafe Spall is stuck in this prison, this cabin, for thousands of years listening to the same Christmas carols on repeat, which I think people have enough problems listening to Christmas carols on repeat for like 3 months, thousands of years, would make someone go certifiably insane. While John Hamm has been resolved of his crimes of being an accomplice to murder, incidentally, but as a result, he now can no longer interact with anybody. So a not-so-happy Christmas for these two.
No, not at all. I mean, it really makes you question, does the punishment fit the crime in these cases? And I think that's what's great about this is it really makes you think, like, you know, yeah, it's great and all to say, oh, we should punish people for what they did. And yes, absolutely. But where is the line? And, you know, is it cruel to do this to a digital copy of yourself? Like, I would argue that perhaps yes, it's still cruel because they have consciousness. I mean, this is almost like Westworld, and it's kind of nature here. But it's really a fascinating study into how much is too much in terms of justice. And the technology stuff is window dressing for these more real, simple and fundamental issues of how do we treat other people? How would we want to be treated? And where do we go wrong? I mean, I don't think there was anything wrong necessarily with what John Hamm's character was doing as the kind of pickup artist kind of helper. In theory, it's just that things went wrong.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, Charlie Brooker says the reason why he called the show Black Mirror is that the Black Mirror of the title is the one you'll find on every wall, on every desk, in the palm of every hand, the cold, shiny screen of a TV, a monitor, a smartphone. And what is a mirror to do but if only to show us our reflection and how we're viewed and, in a way, what kind of person we are. And so this show is all about this common theme of, yes, it's about fun pieces of technology that could exist in the future, but how do these pieces of technology inform humanity or lack thereof and how we interact with each other as a society? So as I said before, I feel like there are so many other topics to plumb out of this that it makes me very excited for not only the six, but other episodes to come.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's no question. You can tell an infinite number of stories because not only is technology constantly changing and improving and, you know, things that weren't conceivable – you know, 2 years ago are commonplace today. And you know, certainly if there's an episode about some sort of manned mission to Mars, would you be surprised? Of course not. I mean, that's kind of in the news, and the whole SpaceX thing. I wouldn't be surprised if there's something like that.
I believe there was a 90-minute episode of it, or maybe it was 2 hours. I think Matt Damon was in it. I'm trying to think of some others. There were a bunch of celebrities in it, though. Surprising for Black Mirror, considering they don't usually go super famous.
But you know what I'm saying. Like, you know, that these are stories that they could easily, with nanotechnology, you could have that sort of thing going on. I mean, there's so much that you could do just based on where technology is headed. And every month that goes by, it seems that even more possibilities open up. So I'm hoping that one of these has a somewhat happy ending, or where the good guy wins, or just one of them. Just please, just one of them. But I know that's not going to happen. But I would just love to have one of these where, like, you know, the bad guy doesn't win, or it doesn't reflect the worst side of us. But
that's not Black Mirror, AJ.
No, can we have a gray mirror? Just one episode of Gray Mirror.
Yeah, that'll be our little our spoonful of sorbet, if you will. It'll be our intermission. Let's look ahead at season 3 for a little bit. Now, as I mentioned before, we don't know too much outside of the 2-minute preview trailer that dropped last week and the cast list that we have for these upcoming 6 episodes. What sticks out to you in terms of what's to come on Black Mirror?
You know, I think just looking at the trailer really briefly, I definitely think that we are definitely looking at the same universe. I think what's great is that it looks like Black Mirror. I think we're going to just really just be dropped into 6 stories that are more of the same. And that's been great so far. I think it's going to be thought-provoking. I'm trying not to look too deep into it. You know, I watched the trailer once and I saw that the look was there and you know, so okay, it's going to be text messages, but like, I don't really want to look again. I just want to take them as they come in, because I mean, I know this film, these episodes are coming out on the 21st, and I will probably have watched them all by you know, the end of the 21st. They are just easily consumed and not easily absorbed, and I think that's what's so great about them.
Yeah, so I'll bring up a few things that I saw, at least. I gleaned at least like 4 separate stories out of the preview. There seems to be one focused around the military and possibly around PTSD as a result. I believe that's the one with Michael Kelly. The one with Bryce Dallas Howard, I think, is once again about social media. And maybe, again, I'm speculating, the idea that you getting likes on social media means you're more successful of a person. So maybe, as I was talking about before, that's maybe the most comic of all the pieces. There was one where there were just 2 people in a room playing a game that looks to be whack-a-mole. I'm sure there is much more into that. And the one with Jerome Flynn, I recognize. It seemed like to be a father and his son. And the simple concept is that the son was making his own bacon, if we're going back to the first episode analogy, and apparently his webcam saw him. And I guess that's going to dive into a whole other set of issues in terms of the singularity or the NSA. Maybe there's something involved in that. But those are the storylines that I was able to glean. They bring up the singularity in the preview, which I find super interesting, because I don't believe the concept of the singularity has ever been mentioned on the show before. Do you remember, AJ?
I don't really think it has, but I mean, it certainly makes sense that if you're doing a show about, you know, the future of technology and where it's going, I mean, look, you know, Ray Kurzweil's idea of the singularity is certainly becoming more and more reality every single day. So it makes sense that you're going to get the show focusing more on it. I mean, we're developing AIs, and it doesn't seem to be as far off as it was even just a couple of years ago, that perhaps, you know, this artificial intelligence will become a reality.
What do you think the chances are that the last episode of this season will be about the singularity and it segues perfectly into Terminator Genesis?
I think more likely is that in the last episode of series 4 is we discover that the episode is actually written by a computer simulation of Charlie Brooker.
Ooh, I like that.
I think that's where we might be headed.
Charlie Mac Brooker. Mac Brooker Pro.
Siri, can you tell me who wrote this episode? I did.
AJ, I am super excited to be talking with you about season 3 of Black Mirror. It's felt like a long time since we've had it on our screens. And no matter what screen it is, and no matter how much Charlie Brooker may make fun of us for watching it on a screen, I also think the irony is not lost on me that this is debuting on a streaming platform, which is primarily watched on the screens that Charlie Brooker is discussing. No matter what the screen, I'm going to be happy to be watching it and talking with you about it.
Yeah, I am definitely looking forward, because I know no matter what my expectations might be, I mean, I can look at the titles of the episodes and think, you know, okay, I think I know where that one might be going. You know, certainly there's one called Hated in the Nation that seems like it might be a political one, but who the heck knows?
There's one called Shut Up and Dance. I'm assuming they're playing the Walk the Moon song of the summer just on loop for 75 minutes, a la the end of the Christmas episode.
There you go. But yeah, I think it's definitely going to be, once you start watching these, that we really have no idea what stories we're about to see. And there are very few shows out there that you have no idea where the story might go. Even something crazy, like, you know, we watch Westworld, we watch Mr. Robot. We don't necessarily have the entire series coursed out in our brains as to where they might be going, but we kind of have ideas that are in the realm of possibility. Charlie Brooker could really go anywhere, and it's exciting to see where he goes, because he's been so wonderful an escort on the journey into his madness so far. So I'm looking forward to diving back in with him.
So let's talk about the way this is going to work out. So as AJ mentioned, all 6 episodes are going to drop on Netflix on October 21st. We're going to give you guys the weekend to hopefully watch all 6 episodes. And if you're really into them, watch them all again and watch them all a third time. If you start Friday night, you can watch them 3 times by the Monday if you'd like to. Starting on Monday, we are going to be releasing podcasts covering episodes 2 at a time. Our first podcast is going to cover episodes 1 and 2 of season 3, then 3 and 4, then 5 and 6. Those are going to be released hopefully one day right after the other. So Monday the 24th, Tuesday the 25th, Wednesday the 26th, you're going to have 6 episodes chock full of Black Mirror coverage in your podcast feed. We're then, depending on how feedback runs, we might talk about doing a feedback show a couple days afterwards. But that being said, we want to hear from you guys. As you're watching Black Mirror, let us know your thoughts. Let us know your questions. We'd love to gather them together to be able to really talk about them once the season is said and done for. You have a bunch of ways you can reach out to us with those questions. You can always email feedback@postshowrecaps.com. That's our general feedback page, and you can send any and all questions there to make sure we get it. You can reach out to us on social media. On Twitter, AJ is at AJ Mass, and I am at A Mike Bloom Type. Those are only a couple ways you can reach out to us. And while you're here, make sure you're locked into all other stuff going on Post Show Recaps. AJ mentioned 2 other shows that are covered here on Post Show Recaps right now, Westworld and Mr. Robot. We've got Once Upon a Time. We've got Seinfeld. We've got SNL. We've got The Walking Dead. There's a whole slew of shows on here, and AJ, I am thrilled to be covering Black Mirror with you in addition to the rest of the repertoire here on Post Show Recaps.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. It's great to have a series that we both love so much that has proven itself to be worthy of a lot of discussion. And I'm sure that the new series is going to spur some many interesting philosophical discussions with the content there. And there's no one I'd rather discuss it with than you, sir.
Likewise. And if you want to hear us spout and hyperanalyze movies even more than what we do about Black Mirror, you can check out our podcast, The Hamster Factor, where AJ and I take a look at a movie that I've never seen before and AJ has, that's always warrants a lot of discussion as to what we liked, what we didn't like, how it compares to the movies of today. It's a lot of fun. Check us out on the iTunes store if you haven't yet. We cover a bunch of movies. I think we're up to 23 right now. So if you're just catching it for the first time, you have a lot of catching up to do, but we're excited to have you aboard. To finish things off, AJ, we need a hashtag for this podcast. It's a late one, but I was thinking Charlie Mac Brooker.
Sure, let's go with that, because anything else would probably just fall into Trump territory, and I don't really want. I think he's got enough hashtags of his own.
Yes, let's not feed the machine here. Let's try to subsist as much as we can away from the media technology glutton that exists today. So use hashtag Charlie MacBrooker if you made it to the end of this podcast. Again, let us know your own thoughts about both the 7 episodes that have preceded this third season and your thoughts about the third season itself. Expect some Black Mirror podcast to drop into your podcast feed in the next about week or so, but we're thrilled to be on board. But for now, take care. Bye-bye. You can blame me, try to shame me, and still I'll care for you. You can run around, even put me down, still